answer, he yells. You can't avoid me forever. Stop acting like a child and come and talk.
The words stun me. A heat sensor. That's how he found me so quickly. He knew where I was this whole time. He was toying with me again. I move faster, in case it's a trick or he's crawling across the stores to cut me off somewhere else. I only stop when my arm hits something that won't shift. I freeze, wishing I had light. When I check my arm for an injury, the only fresh blood on me is Jay's, drying in the cracks of the soles of my feet. I carefully reach out and touch whatever I hit. It's the rung of a ladder. It's a way out. I don't bother being quiet. There's no point, not if he can find me so easily. I start climbing downward, even though I don't know where I'm going. I thought I knew every centimeter of my ship, but I can't remember where on the ground level this ladder comes out. I've been climbing for a few minutes when my stomach twists over and my feet lift out from under me mid-step. Suddenly, I'm falling, colliding with the walls of the shaft on the way down. Something's happened to the artificial gravity. There's no time to think. I scramble for a rung and twist to the side, trying to catch the ladder, but I'm moving too fast. I brace myself to hit the floor with a painful and bloody crunch. Just as I'm really starting to panic, I crash into the base of the shaft, the impact jolting through my knee joints. I catch my breath, trying to calm my panic. The shaft wasn't deep enough to hurt me. I'm okay. What's going on? Are the rotation thrusters that control the artificial gravity failing, or has Jay done this too? Is he messing with my ship again in an attempt to hurt me? All he would have to do is adjust the speed at which the ship is rotating. That would change the force of the gravity it generates. To make it heavier, he must have sped up the ship spinning. I don't have time to worry about it now. Jay could push his way through the stores and follow me at any second. I can't let him find me. I start moving, fighting against the force of the new, heavier artificial gravity. When the shaft's lights flicker off, I don't even stop moving. I pull the flashlight out of my pocket, where I always keep it, and clip it to my belt. My teeth are chattering. It's hard to move, and my limbs are slow to react, like I'm wading through molasses. I reach down to push open the metal hatch, holding on tightly in case the gravity changes again. The lights flash on and off, strobing across my vision. I feel drunk, unsure which direction is up or down. I shine my flashlight down into the room below. The dim glow of the blue standby lights turn to white, activated by my motion. Suddenly, I realize where I am. There's a reason I've never come across this ladder before. It leads into the sick bay. For a second, I debate returning to the shaft. I'm caught between finally facing the room or going back to Jay. When the lights turn off again and don't come back on, I make my decision. I climb down into the room. Whatever is waiting for me here is nothing like what's above. My gaze is drawn to the table where I once found Dad's remains. The pods still line the room like hollow gravestones. I count from the doorway, finding the one containing my mother. Now that I'm here, I need to know more than anything. Is she still alive? Or does the pod contain a frozen corpse? All thoughts of Jay leave my mind. This is the fear that has consumed me for nearly 6 years. I can see the dark shape of my mother's head through the misted glass window. I touch the pod, resting my fingertips where her eyes should be. I hate her for what she did to us. but I also miss her so much it hurts. She's still my mother. I drop my forehead to the glass, aching to see inside but too scared to look. My other hand touches the side of the pod, wrapping around the machine like I'm hugging her. To my surprise, it's warm. I jump back, thinking for a minute that I'm touching human skin, that somehow my mother's hand is dangling out of the pod. Then, I realize it's just the warmth of the freezer working to keep the body inside cool. It's only the machinery doing its job. A thought crosses my mind. Warmth. I cling to it before fear can drive it away. Jay's heat sensor. If the pod is warm, if it's giving off heat like a human, then Jay won't realize I'm here. He'll think my heat signature is just the pod. I can hide, at least for a while. If I'm brave enough to stay here, with my mother. I'm deciding that I don't really have a choice when I notice that there's a brass plaque attached to the front of the pod. Crew member, Lucy Shoreditch. I trace my fingers over the engraving. Shoreditch. Like, Jay? I step back and look at the pods on either side. The one on the left says, crew member Jeremy Shoreditch. These must be the names of the astronauts who were in stasis in the pods, back when the Infinity was launched. A man and a woman, with Jay's surname. Is Jay short for... I'm broken out of my thoughts by the sound of footsteps in the corridor. It's loud, getting closer while I wasn't paying attention, and heading toward the sick bay. Quickly, I twist behind the pod, squeezing into the confined space between it and the wall. I drop down into a crouch and hope my heat signature blurs with the pod's. The footsteps stop.
Romy.
I stop breathing.
I told you I'd find you.
He won't find me. He won't. He'll see the machine is running and back off. He'll go and look for me somewhere else.
That was a clever trick with the tunnel. I think I underestimated you.
The footsteps get closer, stopping right in front of the pod. I breathe through my mouth, trying to make as little noise as possible. There's the click, click, click of fingernails tapping on metal. I think he's touching the plaque, tracing the words Lucy Shoreditch, just like I did. There's an achingly long silence. Finally, he lets out a huff of laughter.
Of course you're hiding in here.
His voice is bitter.
Where else would you be?
He clears his throat. When he speaks again, the catch in his voice is gone.
I can see you, Romy. Hiding in my mother's tomb.
I know he's not talking about me. Only the shadow of the body inside. I still flush hot and then cold with fear. There's a pause, and then, sounding slightly confused, he says,
"Can you even hear me in there?"
I catch sight of his hand at the side of the pod, testing the hinge of the lock. There's a beep, and then he pulls open the door of the pod.
Romy, I...
His words cut off, and he lets out a little shocked grunt. I can't help myself. I peer around the side of the pod just in time to watch him tilt backward, the weight of my mother falling onto him. As she falls, wires tear away from her skin, pinging back into the pod. Jay staggers, trying to hold her up, but he quickly loses his balance and crashes to the floor. My mother's body lands right on top of him. Jay tries to shove her off, but her icy skin has seared to his, like a tongue sticking to an ice cube. As they roll across the floor, Jay catches sight of me. He lets out a frustrated yell.
You little—
He's struggling to get free, to launch himself at me. My mother's forehead is glued to the side of his face. The skin of his cheek pulls and stretches where they touch. I crawl out from behind the pod and run past him, ignoring his shout of anger. The cold air from the freezer hits me as I pass. I leave my two nightmares behind me to fight it out between themselves, sprinting down the corridor. I try desperately to think. What do I do with my head start? I run as fast as I can, fighting the heavy gravity that Jay has tried to trap me with. I've reached the airlock, the place where I first met Jay, where he entered my ship. I can see the eternity through the closed doors, still connected to the infinity. Suddenly, an idea forms. I can escape. I can take his ship. I can disconnect the two spaceships and just go. Fly off in his ship and leave him here alone in the slower, older one. He'll never be able to catch up with me, not if I'm in the eternity. It's so fast, he wouldn't be able to get anywhere near me. When I press the button for the airlock, the doors slide open one by one. As I step on board the eternity, I feel hope for the first time in longer than I can remember. Hope, and more than that, excitement. I can do this. There's a way out. Suddenly, the odds have tipped slightly further in my favor. I don't give myself time to admire the futuristic design of the Eternity, its gleaming metal and mint green walls. I run down the corridor, scanning the rooms for the helm. I need to detach the ships before Jay frees himself and works out what I'm doing. The ship is so huge that I'm not going to be able to find the helm in time by just randomly running around. I stop, gasping for breath. Computer? I say, hoping desperately that there's an audio command system. A voice immediately comes from the ceiling.
How can I help you today?
It's robotic, but obviously female. Sweet and soft. I grin around my next sentence, relieved and hysterical. Can you detach the ship from the infinity, please?
4-letter authorization code required.
I pause. I have no idea. Would Jay have set the code? I clear my throat. Code Romy? I wince, hoping that I'm right and wishing to be wrong.
Access denied. 1 attempt remaining.
My gut clenches. If I can't guess, then my plan is ruined. I feel sick. Is there a way to manually override the code?
Authorization code required.
Code? I waver. The password could be anything at all, just a random string of letters. But I need to try. I need to get away. I strain my brain, trying to think. Then, it occurs to me. Jay's mother's name. He's mentioned before how much he misses his parents. If anything he told me was true, it might be that. What were the names on the torpor pods? Jeremy Shoreditch and... Code Lucy? I say. There's a pause. And then the computer says,
Code accepted. Would you like to become the new system administrator?
I let out a little sigh of relief, leaning back against the wall. Yes, please. Close and secure airlock. Jay set his mother's name as the ship's most important password. There was some truth in what he told me. he left his parents.
Airlock deactivating. Air pressurization complete, the computer replies after a second.
Detach the ships, please.
Ship separation initiated.
I listen, waiting for the sound of the separation. There's nothing for almost a minute, and then a soft shudder rocks the floor.
No longer in contact with the Infinity. Shall the ship continue on determined course?
My blood pressure drops in seconds. Yes. As fast as possible.
Acceleration in progress. Maximum velocity to be obtained.
For almost 10 minutes, I stand stock still, trying to process everything that's happened. I can't believe I'm here. In those long, awful hours in the stores, I gave up all hope of getting away from Jay. My universe shrank to him and finding a way to escape. Now my universe has expanded again. I don't know what to do with it. I lick my lips. They are dry and cracked after so long in the stores. I'm warming up, sweating a little. I hadn't even noticed I was cold. But it's hotter on this ship, just slightly. Jay must have reduced the temperature of the Infinity in his effort to force me out of the stores, or to make it easier to track me down with the heat sensor. The gravity here is normal too, not weighing me down when I move. I shiver, despite the temperature. There's blood on my legs and knuckles. When I touch the tips of my fingers to the wounds, my knees give out beneath me. I need to sit down.
Computer? Where is the helm?
The voice in the ceiling doesn't speak, but a green line lights up on the floor.
Thank you!
I'm quietly amazed. This ship is so cool. It makes mine look like it's made out of papier-mâché. I follow the line around the corner, down another long corridor, and then down another short corridor off that. The ship is huge, at least 3 times the size of the Infinity, based on what I can see so far. There are corridors upon corridors, leading off in every direction. It's so big that I can't believe it's real. It hurts my brain just thinking about it. Finally, I reach a chrome door that slides open as I approach. Inside is Jay's kingdom. The open plan room is so clearly his that it makes me nervous. On one side is a bank of computer screens. That must be the helm. There's also a wide bed against the wall, the sheets tangled up at the foot, and pillows punched into balls. The sight of it is the last thing my exhausted brain can process before it gives up completely. Now that I'm safe, I'm so tired and relieved that I don't even look around. I pass out on Jay's bed, dropping abruptly into complete unconsciousness.
Hours since the Eternity caught up. 38.
When I wake up, every muscle in my body aches and I'm desperately thirsty. I find 3 half-empty bottles of water and 2 packets of mac and cheese in a cupboard by the bed. I drink the contents of all 3 bottles, then eat both packets, crunching through the pasta. I'm starving, but I'm not quite ready to venture out of this room to try and find a proper kitchen. I'm still wearing my nightie, so I search for clothes. There don't seem to be any in this room, apart from a hoodie that has NASA written on the front in large, stylized letters. I roll up the sleeves of the hoodie and pull it on. It smells like person. I'd forgotten that other people have a smell. Looking around makes me feel like I'm seeing inside Jay's brain. Dinner packets are strewn on every surface, and there's a tablet on the bed. I open it to find a paused video. I recognize it as an episode of a TV show he used to talk about. Just like when I found out his password was his mother's name, it catches me by surprise. I hadn't expected any of the things he told me to actually be true. Wasn't he pretending to be Jaden? But this wasn't a lie. He really does watch the show. Carefully, I click through each tab, seeing what books and essays he's been reading, and what music he last listened to. It's unnerving. He seems quite normal. He listened to pop music yesterday. Can I really do this? Can I leave him behind? If he stays on the Infinity, he'll be in his 60s before he makes it to Earth 2. If he ever makes it at all. Have I condemned Jay to death? I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can leave him imprisoned on the Infinity like this. My thoughts are interrupted by a soft, automated voice coming from the tablet. There is an incoming call from Jeremy Shoreditch. Would you like to accept? The notification pushes me over the edge. Answer it, I say quickly. I need to speak to Jay. I need to try to understand what's going on. The video call connects, and his face appears.
Romy,
he says. I can't speak. I just nod, examining his features. I can't tell from his expression whether he's angry or upset. There's a livid red mark on his cheek where my mother's skin had sealed itself to his. It might just be because I'm safe here on this ship, which is already hundreds of kilometers away from him, but somehow I'm not so terrified anymore. I almost feel sorry for him. Right now he looks harmless, exhausted, not monstrous at all. When I open my mouth to finally speak, my lips part with an audible sound. Are you all right? I ask quietly. He rubs at the mark on his cheek and sighs.
I'm okay. Romy, I'm sorry I scared you. I should have been more open with you about how soon the ship would be arriving. You're so young, and I just wasn't thinking coherently.
I bite my lip, fighting back tears. Maybe I should have stopped to talk to him through the airlock, rather than detaching the ships. Because of your parents? I venture carefully. I have barely been able to go anywhere near the sickbay because my mother was in there. If I were him, there's no way I would have been able to deal with boarding the ship my parents died on. Not without some sort of horrifying and embarrassing breakdown. He nods, then frowns.
I knew it would be hard coming to the place where they died. But it was so much worse than I thought it would be. The minute I stepped on board, it brought everything back. All the memories of finding out that they had died when I felt completely alone in the universe. I got really upset and lashed out at you. I can't tell you how much I regret it.
I'm so sorry, I whisper. I didn't know they were part of the crew. I would never have talked about my nightmares in my emails if I'd known that two of the astronauts were your parents.
I should have told you the truth a long time ago,
Jay says.
But it was just too painful.
I understand. I can't talk about my dad either. We're both silent. How old were you when they died? I ask. If his parents had him before they left Earth 19 years ago, then he must have been pretty young.
25. They got accepted for the Infinity mission when I was 13, which was due to launch after I turned 18. At first, they weren't sure if they should go, because of me. But NASA told them that I'd be able to follow them in a few years and we'd be together again.
So when you found out what had happened, you were already trying to become an astronaut too. He nods.
I'd just graduated and I was in training at NASA when they told me that Mom and Dad were dead. Just like that. I couldn't believe it. We'd been preparing for so long, and then they were gone before their mission had even really started.
I'm so sorry, Jay. He's silent while I wrap my head around everything he's told me. They let you join the mission? I ask. Even after your parents died in space?
Yes. NASA knew I wanted to honor their memory by doing what they couldn't. I had to support what was left of the Infinity's mission. For most of my training, we knew that there were still three people alive on that ship. Two crew members who hadn't been in stasis when everyone died, and a baby. A little girl. Then, 2 years before we launched, we found out that an oxygen tank explosion had killed the adults, and the little girl was the only one left. The mission became even more important.
I nod. After they died, I told NASA an oxygen tank had killed my parents. I couldn't bear to explain the truth about my mother. Then, I realize what he's saying. Everyone knew about me? Jay smiles.
Romy, everyone on Earth heard about you. The child genius who knows everything there is to know about the ship. Who was going to be the commander when she grew up. I envied you. You had the life that I wanted, exploring the universe with your parents. I started this mission so angry at you for that.
Jay looks down and clears his throat.
You know, I only started talking to you because I wanted to see what you were like. The girl who stole my dream.
I feel raw. This is not what I was expecting to hear.
That's why I copied your stories,
he continues.
I just wanted you to like me. I was trying to get you to open up, to talk to me, so I could see what you were like behind the formal emails you sent as the commander. But now I understand that you'd have talked to me as myself. I didn't need to pretend to be that character.
It wasn't fair, I say. It wasn't fair that you manipulated me like that. You used Jaden against me.
I know. It's the worst thing I've ever done. I regret it so much. Romy, I'm not trying to hurt you. I never will. I swear on it.
How am I ever supposed to believe that, Jay? I don't even know what's real anymore. The UPR, are they real or fake? I still don't know.
Oh, Romy.
Jay shakes his head.
I'm sorry. The UPR are real. I can see why you would hope they weren't, though. I wish they weren't, too.
But the coordinates. He frowns.
All messages from Earth have to be retransmitted to you from the Eternity's transponder, because my ship blocks the path of the signal from there. The messages wouldn't reach you otherwise. Is that what you're talking about?
I swallow. Why didn't I think of that? Even if the UPR really are in control of our ships, even if their requests are real, there are so many other things that you made up.
By the end, I wasn't putting on a front anymore, I swear. Those emails were all me. Okay, some of the facts about my life were taken from that TV show. I never dropped out of medical school. I've actually got a degree in engineering. And I don't pull pranks on people like Jaden does. But the real stuff? The emotions? That was all me. I think after a while, it turned into more than just collecting information. I started to look forward to talking to you. I wasn't expecting us to have so much in common. I showed you more of myself than I ever meant to. We have a genuine bond like I've never felt with anyone before. I fought it for a long time because I thought I was supposed to hate you for my parents. But I can't any longer.
I'm silent. I'm too torn up, too impossibly lost to know how to reply to that. I wish things had gone differently, I say into the quiet. I wish we could have met properly, nicely, without you playing any of these games. I see his Adam's apple dip as he swallows.
We can still have that. We can start again. Pretend none of this ever happened?
I hesitate. I don't trust him. Not at all. How can I? But surely whatever he's done, it's not worth being condemned to this life alone in space. Right? There's still a part of me that isn't convinced, that remembers how it felt when he grabbed at my knee in the tunnel.
We don't even have to open the airlock, he adds,
looking into the camera with eyes that are full of remorse.
I can stay on the Infinity, and you can stay on the Eternity. We don't ever have to open the door if you don't want to. Just please don't leave me here.
With that, I'm decided. I wouldn't be able to live with the guilt of abandoning him in space. He can stay on my old ship, and I can stay here. We'll travel together, but I'll be safe. I'm going to come back and get you, I say. Jay smiles, so widely that I can see his perfectly straight teeth. He lifts his arm to run a hand through his golden hair, and that's when I notice the background in the video. He's standing in front of a wall, a mint green wall. Mint green. I know every inch of my ship. There is no mint green anywhere. Not a single centimeter of the Infinity is painted mint green. He's on the Eternity. A shudder rolls down my back. I bite my tongue to stop a gasp. I thought I'd escaped. I thought I was safe. He's on the ship, hiding from me, pretending he isn't. He could be anywhere. He could be right behind me. I force myself not to turn my head and look, even though the hairs on the back of my neck are tingling.
Oh, Romy,
he says, oozing affection.
Thank you so much.
I force my face into a grimacing smile. I nod. I believed his lies again. I fell right into another of his traps.
I thought I'd destroyed everything.
He ducks his head and looks up at me through his eyelashes. Me too, I say. I can actually feel my heart breaking all over again. He looks so sincere. How is he so good at this? Why is he even doing these things to me? What did I do to deserve this? I force myself to smile again. Be sweet, be gentle, be light. I'll tell the ship to come back for you now, I say, the words coming out brittle, however hard I try. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Jay nods and smiles a contented smile. He winks.
See you soon.
I make a weak noise in reply, then disconnect the call. The second his face disappears, I spin around, checking the room. He's not here. Computer, lock the helm door, I say, loud and fast. Don't allow access to anyone under any circumstances. Door locked, the computer confirms. I'm not convinced. Will anyone be able to override the lock and get in? Anyone at all?
Negative. Access will be restricted to Romy Silvers only.
Are you absolutely sure? I can't trust this. Whatever the computer says, Jay will find a way around it. He's too clever. Too good at programming the software to do what he wants, like with the power malfunctions.
Only administrators can override a user command.
I speak around clenched teeth. Are there any administrators on board the ship right now?
Negative.
Finally, I relax from my defensive stance. He can't get in. I'm safe in here. For now. I'm consumed with self-hatred. I can't believe I was stupid enough to fall for his tricks again. Even knowing what he's like, even after he chased me across my ship, I still fell for his lies and charisma. Like his taste in books and music would be enough to prove that he's really a good person. I scrub a hand through my hair and straighten my shoulders. I need to fix my mistakes. Even if I'm not alone on the ship, I still have an advantage. He can't get in here. I'm safer than I would have been on the Infinity. I'm going to have to leave this room eventually, to get more food and water. This is only a temporary respite, but I have some time to think. What does he want from me? Is he just torturing me for fun, twisting me around his little finger? Does he like seeing how easily he can persuade me to forgive him? If I went to him, would he kill me, or would he keep turning good and bad, making me love him and hate him over and over for the sake of it? I have no idea. I can't understand what he's trying to do. What kind of person thinks like him?
Hours since the Eternity caught up. 39.
I pace the room, trying to focus despite my panic. When my eyes fall on the helm, a plan of action begins to form. Jay probably never intended for me to come on board his ship, so anything I find here is the truth. It's not buried beneath layers of lies and manipulation. I must be able to use that. I can work out who he really is. I can find a weakness somewhere in the hard drive of his ship's computer. He has to have some flaws that I can use against him. It's my only hope. When the computer wakes up, there's a page open on the screen showing my emails and fanfics. Sentences are highlighted, with comments added in the margins. It's his notes. His study of me.
You're okay,
he said, his voice a low, calming murmur in her ear. Relax. She'd never felt so relieved. The tension in her stomach, which had been building in a tight coil since she'd realized she was in danger, dissolved into nothing. With Jaden, she was safe.
Jaden is calm in a crisis and reassures Lyra a lot. Need to be confident so that our trusts I know best, but also confess some weaknesses to make me seem more trustworthy. Confide emotionally in R to achieve this. Bring up food / cooking again. She likes that. She doesn't like discussing her mom at all. Stick to Dad. Something must have happened when they died. Maybe NASA doesn't know the full story? Not an oxygen tank explosion at all?
Unable to bear it, I minimize the page. There's a new message in his inbox. It's from Molly. Just the sight of her name makes me want to cry. I've been so caught up in everything happening with Jay that I'd completely forgotten to think about her. Molly. My Molly.
He lied again then.
If Molly is still emailing him, the UPR can't exist. He made them up, just as I suspected. Even worse, her message is addressed to me. Jay must have intercepted the signal and blocked it so it couldn't get to me. Molly never really abandoned me after all. Trembling, I open the audio message. When Molly's gentle voice starts speaking, so familiar even after all this time, I let out a sob. I can't stop the tears that fall long after the message has finished playing. From NASA Earth, sent 3/5/2066. To the Infinity. Received 12/5/2067. Attachment. Earth2sim.zip. 8 gigabytes. Audio transcript. Hi, Romy. I hope you're having a good day. It snowed here yesterday, and Nino is having such fun discovering snowflakes for the first time. He keeps trying to eat them. I'm attaching an updated version of the Earth 2 simulation, which will let you practice the landing protocols for the larger combined vessel of the Eternity and the Infinity. It also includes better graphics and training exercises for some of the new pieces of agricultural equipment. I've been testing it for you, and it's really fun. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm jealous that you get to play the whole thing. Talk to you tomorrow, sweetie. My heart hurts. Molly has been sending me audio messages all this time. There are hundreds of messages, one for every single day since the Eternity launched, and Jay started blocking them from reaching me. It feels like a punch in the gut. Molly has no idea what Jay has been doing to me for the last year. She doesn't know about any of the ways he's been tormenting and torturing me. She thinks I'm perfectly happy. I scroll through the pages of messages from Molly in the inbox, addressed to both Jay and me. Then I check the sent emails to find out what Jay has been saying to NASA in reply. From the Eternity, sent 12/5/2067. To NASA Earth, predicted date of receipt, 9/15/2069.
Dear Dr. Molly Simmons, we are afraid to report that the laser transmitter on the Infinity is still broken. Below is Commander Silver's latest message to NASA Earth, as received on the Eternity via the Infinity's short-distance radio transmitter. We are working with Commander Silver's to advise her on the best method of fixing the long-distance laser transmitter, and seem to be making good progress. Hopefully, the problem will soon be fixed, and she will be able to return to regular communication methods. Hoping all is well on Earth, Commander Shoreditch and Pilot Evans.
Attached message reads, From the Infinity, sent 12/5/2067. To NASA Earth, predicted date of receipt, 9/15/2069. Hi, Molly. I wish I could play in the snow with Nino. That sounds so cool. Thank you for the software. I've already tested it, and it's brilliant. Jeremy, Isaac, and I are working hard to fix the transmitter here on the Infinity. I really hope we get it working soon. I miss talking to you properly. Love, Romy. It sounds just like me. For months and months, Jay has been telling Molly lie after lie, pretending to be me. And who is Isaac? Is he Pilot Evans? I've never heard Jay mention another person being on board the Eternity, but Pilot implies there is a second in command. The ship must have launched with two crew members. So where is Isaac Evans now? Has Jay done something to him? Oh, God. I hope Isaac is okay. I make myself listen to more of Molly's messages. The sound of her voice is like a hug, even with the obvious concern and worry in everything she says. I've missed her so much. I wish I could email Molly and ask for help. I wish there was a way she could save me and make Jay go away forever. But there isn't. I'm on my own. I close down the emails. I'm not going to find anything else useful there, just bad memories. I run my shaking hands through my hair and let out a frustrated yell. I deserve so much better than this. I deserve so much better than him. He destroys everything he touches, but I can't let him destroy me. I'd do anything to find a way to lock him up. I would push him into a stasis pod without a moment's hesitation, just so I never had to think about him again. I wouldn't even feel guilty about it. I start looking through his drawers, searching for anything I can use as a weapon. I need to find a way to defend myself while I work out how to end this. If I can just get him back to the Infinity and trap him in a pod, this will all go away. He wouldn't even see it coming. Not from needy, gullible Romy, desperate for affection. Not from the little mouse caught between his claws. I know it's a desperate plan, with barely a chance of success. But I need to try. I find a pair of scissors in the desk and test the blade against the pad of my thumb. When I press it into the skin, it leaves a white line behind. It's not sharp, but if I use enough force, it might work. Either way, it's going to have to do. If I press it against his back, he won't be able to tell the difference between scissors and a knife. When I've searched the whole room and failed to find anything else that could be useful, I go over to the computer and say, "Locate Jeremy Shoreditch." I need to do this now, before I start second-guessing myself, before he has the chance to persuade me to trust him again. A map appears on the screen with a glowing orange symbol showing Jay's location. He's just down the corridor from the helm. It looks like he's waiting to ambush me. He must have found the door locked and decided to wait for me to come out. I can't even imagine how he plans for all of this to end. I wonder if he would admit that he's right outside the room if I called him now. Not that I care. Whatever he says, I'm not going to listen. I prepare myself, wrapping my fist around the scissors and putting a blank expression on my face. I take a deep breath, telling myself that I'm strong and brave and I can handle this. I have no other choice. Open the door. As soon as it begins to open, I start running. Jay is standing in the center of the hallway waiting for me. I sprint at him, fist clenched around the pair of scissors, out of sight behind my back.
"Romy?"
he says, feigning surprise, but that's as far as he gets before I run straight at him. I'm picturing driving the blade into the flesh of his stomach when he grabs me by the arms and lifts me up, pushing me back against the wall. I flail and kick, dropping the scissors as I try to get free. He holds me in midair like I weigh nothing and knocks back my blows without even trying. "Let go!" I shout, horrified that he managed to stop me so easily.
"Don't even try," he growls. "You're coming with me."
He roughly twists my wrists behind my back, holding them with one hand even as I struggle to break free. He wraps his other arm around my throat from behind.
"If you fight, I'll break your neck,"
he whispers into my ear. I immediately go still, waiting to see what he's going to do next. I bare my teeth, but don't risk replying. He takes a step forward, forcing me to march in front of him, away from the scissors, which are lying on the floor. We walk down three corridors, turning right and left and right again. I rack my brain for some way I can get free and what else I could use as a weapon, but I'm so frightened that my mind has gone completely blank. It's all I can do to take step after step. Finally, Jay stops outside a door, his arm tightening on my throat like he's pulling on a horse's reins. The door slides open. I see a hospital bed in the middle of the room and realize he's brought me to this ship's sickbay. I wonder if this is where he brought Isaac. Is he going to kill me the same way he must have killed him? The bed is hooked up to an IV. I'm imagining what he's going to do to me, if he's going to cut me up or knock me out cold, or worse. When I notice that there's someone in the bed, chest rising and falling in the steady rhythm of sleep. Jay pushes me toward them. It's my mother. She's not in stasis anymore. She's alive. After all this time, she's still alive.
Hours since the eternity caught up. 40.
When I see my mother, I start struggling in Jay's grip.
No, no, no!
I scream.
Stop!
Shh, Jay murmurs.
You don't want to wake her up, do you?
I stop fighting. No, I don't want that. Not in a million years. Jay loosens his arm, but pulls me in closer so that my back is pressed up against his front. My mother is alive. I can't deal with this. I want desperately to disappear inside my head like she used to, so I don't have to process what's happening, but I can't. What are you doing? I say in a desperate, quiet voice. She's dangerous. She killed my dad. He snorts.
She can barely move. She's been in stasis. She's got reduced muscle strength. How is your mother still alive, by the way?
He asks, curious and calm.
You told NASA that both of your parents died in an oxygen tank explosion almost 6 years ago.
I lied, I gasp. I can't let him wake her up. I need to keep him talking, to distract him. I couldn't tell NASA the truth about what she did. He hisses through his teeth.
I had everything planned out so neatly, thinking you were alone. This has changed everything. But I can work with it. I can't believe that after everything she did, she's still alive.
Please don't. Whatever you're doing, stop. I thought we had a connection, I add, half to delay him by talking, half because I still don't understand, not even a little bit. I thought you liked me.
I do like you,
he says, confused, Once again, he sounds genuine. How did he get so good at lying?
You're sweet, Romy.
Then why are you doing this? I say.
Why don't we ask your mother to explain?
No, I cry, but it's too late. He's already shouting.
Good morning, Talia.
Time freezes around us for a second. Then my mother stirs, half opening her eyes. She looks woozy.
Over here,
he trills to her. My mother blinks, her gaze wandering the room until she spots us. Her expression sharpens from hazy to awake in seconds. Without warning, I throw up, chunks of mac and cheese forcing their way past Jay's arm on my throat, spraying down the front of my top and onto the floor. Jay makes a disgusted noise in my ear and moves away from me, leaving a space between our bodies.
Jesus Christ.
I draw in a deep gasp of air, trying not to choke. You should never have woken her up, I tell him, spitting bile onto the floor. He doesn't know what happened to Dad. He has no idea what she's capable of. My mother is wide awake now. She's watching us carefully. She coughs quietly, testing her throat.
Don't worry,
Jay says into my ear.
I'll look after you.
The words echo what Jay always said in my daydreams. When we first met and fell in love. I fight back another wave of vomit. The fiction I created about us feels like the naive nonsense of a child. Please, I gasp. Whatever you're planning, you can't... Don't!
Romy?
The words, uncertain and hoarse, come from my mother. I stop talking abruptly. Mom? I say. The sound of her voice makes me feel like I'm 11 again.
Romy, who is that man?
Her words are calm. Nothing like the manic shriek I remember from when I last saw her, smashing up the embryos. Mom! I choke back a sob. I used to crave the days when she was lucid more than anything else in the world. Even now I want to run to her. To hide under her arm and breathe in her smell, despite the image that never leaves my mind. Her pushing Dad away. Him falling onto broken glass. Mom, you have to help me, I say, desperately grasping at a fragile hope. He's gonna kill me!
I'm going to kill you both, actually.
Jay jerks his arm against my neck, casually testing his strength. It's a reminder of how powerless I am.
Let go of her,
my mother says, struggling to sit up in bed.
You're hurting her. Oh, Talia, I'm going to do much more than hurt your daughter. I'm going to make you sit and watch as I kill her,
Jay says.
And then I'm going to kill you.
Tears stream down my face.
Why are you doing this?
I wail.
Haven't you worked it out yet?
He spits.
This is my revenge. Your parents killed my mom and dad. Dr. Silvers here was too busy fawning over her perfect little newborn baby to actually do her fucking job.
Suddenly, everything makes sense.
That wasn't their fault.
His parents' deaths were just an accident. He's so lost in grief that he can't see the truth. He laughs.
Not their fault? You have nightmares about the astronauts every single night, Romy. Why are you so frightened of them? What possible reason could you have to be so scared of long-dead crew members?
I don't understand what point he's making. Anyone would fear the astronauts, wouldn't they? They're... It's scary. The thought of them, it's...
He shakes his head, talking over me.
You're guilty. You know that if you hadn't been born...